All right, this morning you can turn with me in God's Bible to Job chapter 14. And as you're turning, I'd like to welcome Josephine Carver back. I don't really consider her a visitor. She's been here for years, but she's come back to see us. We're glad we can all see you again. Glad to have you with us, all right? So hopefully you can come back more often and be with us, okay? All right, this morning, turn with me to the book of Job 14. I'd like to also welcome those who are on live stream and those listening on the radio. It's good to have you as well. And so this morning, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. Notice again in verse 1, he fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we begin our service. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of being in your house this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your love, your goodness, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for sending your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to give his life on Calvary to take our place. Father, that he might bear our sin and die in our place, go to the grave, and then come back in triumphant power as he came forth from the grave to deliver us and to give us life eternal. Father, today I pray you be with every heart and mind here today. May we also get, Lord, what we need and be encouraged and strengthened. And may your son be glorified and souls be saved. And we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we look at the chapter here in the book of Job, I want you to notice how it says he fleeth also as a shadow. I'm going to talk about shadows this morning. You know, a shadow is simply a darkened shape on a surface that falls behind somebody or something blocking the light. And so shadows provide, what shadows do? They provide relief from the sun. They can alert us to someone's presence. They can tell time on a sundial. And if they're dark enough, they can provide us a place to hide. Now, there's all kinds of different shadows that are mentioned in the Bible. There's the shadow of the Almighty, the shadow of Egypt, the shadow of heavenly things, the shadow of good things to come, the shadow of turning, and of course the most popular one, which we're all familiar with, the shadow of death, which is mentioned 20 times. Now, I'm sure we've all heard these expressions, and I'm sure you've heard this one, living in someone else's shadow. Also, you maybe heard about the detective who is shadowing a suspect, or that tall, dark stranger lurking in the shadows, waiting for his next victim. Or bad news that casts a shadow upon one's happiness, or living under the shadow of an impending disaster, or being sure of something beyond the shadow of a doubt, or speaking of someone who once was great, but now is simply a shadow of their former self. You know, as soon as we're born, we are living in a shadow, the shadow of death, and we won't get out of that shadow until we die. But fortunately, the Lord Jesus Christ has come to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to deliver us from the kingdom of darkness and to translate us into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom of light. Now, some shadows are darker than others. Some are more distinct and defined. Some move. Some stand still. Some are big. Some are small. They're real, but they cannot be handled. Shadows may come and shadows may go, but they'll always be with us throughout our lives until we pass through the last one, the valley of the shadow of death. Now, those are some of the characteristics of shadows this morning, but I want to mention or examine some more spiritual ones a little bit more closely. And I want to take a look at the first characteristic that we see that's found right here in the book of Job, chapter 14, verse 1. We find that shadows are fleeting. Shadows are fleeting. In Job chapter 14, we've already seen the passage. So let's turn to Psalm 102, verse 11. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I'm withered like grass. Notice here the psalmist is pointing out the fact that his life are simply like a shadow that declines. You ever been out to watch the sunset? Doesn't last very long, does it? You have to enjoy it in the moment of time that it's there, and it's gone before you know it. Your life's the same way. It's like a shadow that declineth. But also look at Psalm 144. Psalm 144. Verse 4. Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Again, your life, just a shadow. Just here for a little while, then it passes away. Life is fleeting. Have you ever been in a car, and you're zipping down the highway, and you're looking out beside the car, and you see that shadow beside you, and that shadow, it seems like it's just zipping down the road. But when you look straight ahead, it seems like you're not moving at all. You're looking out in the distance, and it seems like everything's going slow, but you look over to that shadow, and it just seems like it's just moving so fast, you can't believe it. Life's that way. You see, we're looking out at life's road, and it seems slow. It seems like there's a long way to go. It doesn't seem like you're going to get there very fast. As a young person, it seems like your life is just beginning. You're looking down that road. You're saying, I'm going to go to college, and I'm going to get a degree. And you look down the road a little further. I'm going to get married. I'm going to have children. I'm going to get a good job. I'm going to live a life that pleases God. And before you know it, you're old, you're gray. And you look back and say, how'd I get here? The shadow was fleeing. I was fleeting beside you all that time. If you'd have just looked over for a moment, you'd have seen how light, how short your life really was. It was zipping by and you didn't even know it. You know, I think all of us can relate to that. Fleeting shadows. And the older I get, the more I agree with the scriptures, that life is indeed like a dream or a fleeting shadow. You know, I understand why older people, they say that life goes by faster the older you get. I think you start to realize that time is coming to a close. You know, we're told that we have, you know, 70 years. 70 years. I have 11 years left if that's the case. That kind of gives you a new perspective on life, doesn't it? To look at that and say, really, Lord, I only have 11 years left if I live to be 70 years old? I mean, that kind of puts you in a different kind of frame of mind to start thinking just how short indeed life has been. You know, I think back over my life, and it seems like yesterday that I graduated from high school. And I met the most beautiful woman in the world, Lori. She came in the church one day. I looked over and saw her, and I said, that is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And I said, you know what? I'm going to ask her out. Well, I had to get the courage up for about, you know, a couple of weeks to finally ask her to go somewhere with me. And believe it or not, she did. But then we got married, and we had children. I went off to Bible college. I graduated. I got into the ministry. I started the church, and then I resigned that church and moved on to another church and pastored there for a while, and resigned again and came here to Grace of Calvary to be used of God right here. But as I look back over those years, the ministry just flew by. And so here I am today looking back and saying, Lord, it's been a shadow, just a fleeting shadow, but, you know, that's how life is. All of us here are subject, and all of us right here today are, in fact, living under that shadow beside you, going right by. And you don't know how long that shadow is going to be zipping by. It could be today that your life will end. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know that little quaint saying, I guess it's kind of a cliche, but it's still worth saying. Only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Now that is a pretty good statement to think about, isn't it? As cliche or as common as it may be, we have to really think about the truth of that. You don't get a second do-over in life. You live it now, and it's over. You don't get that second chance to come back and make up for all the mistakes. You know, there's a lot of mistakes in my past I'd like to get a chance to redo, but you know what? I have to kick the rearview mirror out of my life and say, I'm not looking back, I'm going to look forward. I'm going to keep on looking the right direction because my wife knows that I have a tendency to look back too much. And I start to deal with regrets, and I have to remember, Lord, I'm not to look back. You see, we are to continue looking forward, even though life may be short. And a matter of fact, that's all the more reason to keep looking forward because life is short. And you better do what God wants you to do now before it is too late. So shadows, they can be fleeting. But also, shadows can be fearful. Shadows can be fearful. You ever hear the expression, He's afraid of his own shadow. You know, but even if you're afraid of it, you can't run away from it. It's right there with you no matter where you go. So you better get used to it because that shadow's not leaving. Of course, we realize how foolish that is. I mean, shadows can't hurt us. But fact is, they can instill fear. Some shadows can instill fear. As a boy, I remember we had horses. And we kept the horses over in a pasture away from our house. And some days we would go over, most times in the late evening, kind of when it's starting to sunset, was starting to, you know, come. Not quite sunset, but just a little while before. And we'd go over and take care of the horses, give them a bucket of water and give them some oats to eat. And I hated those horses, by the way. I was just a tyke. This is a little kid, and those horses knew I was afraid of them, and they'd step on my feet. They'd come over and push me up against the fence. They'd just anything they could do to just make my life miserable. But I'd still go with my brother, and we'd take care of the horses. Now, that wasn't the bad part. The horses were bad enough, but as we were coming back, it would start to get dark, and the shadows would start to fall. And we'd have to climb through that fence and lift up the barbed wire and slip through and get your back caught on there and get your shirt ripped. But in any event, you'd get through there eventually. But now after you got through the fence, now you had to deal with going through a cemetery. Now, I don't know about you. I don't like cemeteries in the dark. I don't mind in the daytime. But boy, the shadows start to fall in that cemetery. Those gravestones are making all those shadows there in the graveyard. And all of a sudden, the trees are rustling. And all of a sudden, you know what I was thinking of? Ghosts and goblins are going to come out of the grave. They're going to chase after me. So I go running out of that graveyard and run to the house as fast as I could. I mean, I was just a kid, but I mean, that graveyard scared me. Those shadows scared me. Now, not one of those shadows could hurt me. But as a boy, you know what? I didn't care. I was still afraid of them. And I was still going to run as fast as I could to get out of that graveyard. You know, when you think about it, like those shadows I had, that I saw, they couldn't harm me. They did scare me. But what is producing the shadow may in fact be something to fear. Now the shadows of those gravestones couldn't hurt me. The shadows of those trees rustling in the wind couldn't hurt me. But I'm here to tell you that if you have the shadow of a grizzly bear, now that's a whole different story, isn't it? Now that's something that can hurt you. The shadow of a grizzly bear is something you don't want to see. But I guarantee if you see it, it's going to be fearful. And you are going to run as fast as you can, and you better run faster than the guy that's with you because you went in to get eaten by the bear, not you. So there you are, afraid, and for good reason. And another shadow that should and does and will cause fear is the shadow of death. The shadow of death. I don't know about you, but that's not a very pleasant thought, is it? To think about the shadow of death. It's just something that kind of, I think all of us kind of just have a little bit of a, I don't know if as a Christian we have a fear of it, but it's just a foreboding, kind of just a dread or a negative feeling of that's gloomy, that's doomy, the shadow of death. But we know that death, which is casting the shadow, can indeed hurt us. Now we can go, we live under that shadow of death all of our life. We're born into this world, we're dead in trespasses and sins. We're walking, as it were, through a graveyard of life with the shadow of death over us. Whether we like it or not, that shadow is there. And we might say, boy, it sure is gloomy. It sure is a life that seems like filled with doom. In some respects, that's true. We have our trials, we have our troubles. What did Job say? Man that is born of a woman is a few days, fleeting, see, and full of trouble. So you see, man, it's all the woman's fault. Man that is born of a woman. But those shadows, the shadow of death, puts fear into us. You know, that is exactly why man is in fact afraid of it. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Man is afraid of the shadow because what is casting the shadow? In Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Notice that. Deliver them who were through fear of death. You see, those people, and that's you and me, before we got saved, we were suffering that fear, that dread of death. Through fear of death. I remember years ago when I was just a boy, and one day I asked my dad, I guess I was a morbid little kid. I asked my dad, do we have to die? He's like, yeah, we all have to die. I said, but why? He didn't know the answer. He wasn't saved. He goes, well, we just have to. I said, well, I don't want to die. He goes, well, it's just the way it is. You have to die. Well, you know, I didn't really like the answer, but he was right. We have to die. We will die, like it or not. Didn't make it any better. It didn't make me like think, oh, good, I got to die. That's okay. No problem. Actually, it made it even worse for me. I'm thinking, but I don't want to. I don't know about you sitting out there, but anybody here want to die today? I sure didn't. And I am so glad that I found out the truth one day that I didn't have to. Spiritually speaking, I could live forever. I could be born again, and I could live a life of joy and peace and eternal, have eternal life while I live here and eternal life to come forevermore with my God and Savior. When I found that out, I don't know about you, but that was the greatest news I ever heard in my entire life. To find out that somebody else died in my place. That was profound. It just, wow, somebody loved me that much to take my place and die for me on a cross? That transformed my life, and I trusted Christ as Savior that day. I put my faith in Him. Matter of fact, well, not that day. I had to hear the gospel three times before I responded. But I finally heard and understood the gospel and realized I could not save myself by the things I was doing. So I put my faith in Christ. That shadow of death, you see, was giving me fear. But God gave me peace when I put my faith in Him. And one day, as we reached that moment when we walked through that valley, isn't it good to know that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me? We have our Savior to walk with us through that shadow. That is a wonderful thought. Amen. To think, I don't have to go through that shadow of death alone. Right. When I was a little boy, that made me fearful. I didn't even like to think about it. I still don't like to think about it. But the fact was, I was thinking I have to go through that all by myself with nobody there with me. But praise God, He will be there with me, and He'll be there with all of you that are born again. He'll be there to walk you through that valley. Amen. And I believe that that valley won't have much darkness, because you know what? You're walking with Him. That's the light. That's right. So you're going to be walking with God, who is light. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be beautiful as you walk through that valley. He was saying, what valley? Is there a shadow? Not now, because He's with you. But you know, when we were lost, we walked in darkness, didn't we? The darkness of ignorance, the darkness of religion, the darkness of philosophy. And we stumbled along, tripping and failing and falling due to our ignorance, due to our unbiblical religious beliefs, due to our worldly, satanic philosophies of life. Those things were having us fumble and bumble through life. We didn't know which direction we were going. We didn't know what we were doing, because we had that darkness covering our eyes. Amen. The devil has come to do what? To blind the minds of them that believe not the gospel, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. The devil wants to keep you in darkness. He wants to keep you under that shadow of death, fearful and not knowing what to do, and get you all tripped up and all confused with all of those things that the devil throws at you. Ignorance and religion and philosophy and all the other things you can name. Now, I was under the ignorance of religion. I believed that I could save myself by my good works. That's where I was at. I went to a church where I went to Sunday school. I knew Jesus died on the cross. I knew all the Daniel and the lion's den and Noah and the ark and Adam and Eve. I knew the stories. Didn't do anything for me. But in that church, I was led to the idea that, you know, you keep the golden rule. You know, do unto others as they would do unto you, as you have them do unto you. And the Ten Commandments. And, you know, just doing good, just basically doing good. But, you know, if you'd asked me what the Ten Commandments were, I couldn't even name one of them. But yet I was going to be saved by keeping them? I mean, it was an entirely ridiculous idea. But, you know, when I heard the gospel, I realized that I could not be saved by my works. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. When we got saved, we saw the light, didn't we? The light came into our into our mind, into our spirit, and just woke us up to spiritual truth we never knew before. A whole new world opened up. And it's like, wow, I didn't know this. I didn't understand this. I couldn't see this before. And I remember when I started reading the Word of God, and I was just a kid, I started reading my Bible. When I was saved, I started going through my Bible and reading. And I remember going up to my preacher and asking him about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I said, you know how it says here that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and we're going to be, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we're going to go to see him in the air? I said, is that really, what's that about? He goes, that's what we call the rapture. I said, the what? He goes, the rapture. One of these days, Jesus is coming, and he's going to take us home to heaven. I don't know, but I think I jumped about 3 feet in the air in my heart. I couldn't jump 3 feet if I tried. But I'm telling you what, internally, I was jumping for joy to find out that Jesus Christ could come before I died. I was under the shadow of death, under that fear of death, and all of a sudden, not only was I now saved and know I was going to heaven, but now I knew that there's a possibility I may never die. I don't know about you, but that ought to make you shout. Even a Presbyterian would shout at that, amen? So shadows. We see the light when we come to Christ. And once that light comes, it's never the same again. Life is never the same again. And from the Word of God, we find that he has taken away that fear of death. And so we can now say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You see, death no longer holds its sting. Because we know that we have power over death through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the grave holds no power over us because we will be raised from the dead if we die before this life, before Jesus comes. Either way, we win. Amen. The sting of death won't even touch those who are saved, and the grave won't hold any victory over us because we are saved and we know the Lord Jesus Christ and he's coming to take us home. Either way, dead or living, he's coming for all of us and he's going to take us all home to heaven. So, shadows are fleeting. Shadows are sometimes fearful. But also, a shadow can be a fortress. A shadow can be a fortress. You say, how in the world can a shadow that's just a darkened shape on a surface that falls behind somebody or something blocking the light can be a fortress? Saying a fortress, you can't even touch a shadow, and a shadow is something you can see, but you know it's not something that you can really touch, and actually it's not a real thing. But listen, shadows can be a fortress. First of all, they can be a fortress in the sense that they prevent fainting. Look at Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah 25. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. So our Savior, our God, is a shadow from the heat. Now, I think all of you can relate to this and can think about times when you found a shadow somewhere to get relief from the heat. I used to paint with my father when I was a kid, and I'd be up on these real tall ladders, and I didn't have any fear of height, and I'd be up there on a 40-foot ladder, painting and scraping, and it was hot. Seems like he put me on the side that always had the sun. He'd be on the shady side. Well, I'd be over there painting away, and I mean, I was hot. When I got down off that ladder for lunch, you know what I found? A place of shade. I wanted to get out of that sun. I wanted to find a place where I could cool down for a little bit, and then I'd get back up on the ladder in just a little while. But I'll tell you what, I was seeking for some shade. And I know throughout my life, there's been plenty of times that that's been the case. I've been out in all kinds of hot, sunny weather, and I've always tried to find a place where I could get away from the heat, find a place where there's a shadow, because we all know a shadow's cool. When you get in the place of a shadow, it's cool, it's calm, you can relax in the shadow, but when you get out in the sun, you start sweating, and it's just, it's miserable being out in the sun. But I was reading a book one time about all the tragedies in the Grand Canyon. And I've been there before, I went there one time, and as you walk up to that canyon, you don't know what to expect. and there's no gates, no fences, no nothing. I mean, they have nothing there to keep you from committing suicide if you want to. You could just run and take a flying leap and it'd be all over. I was surprised. I guess I was thinking there'd be some kind of fencing around it, but oh no. You can walk up as far as you want and you can look down. When I got up on that, when I got off to that ridge and I walked up as far as I was willing to and I looked down, I was like, wow, that thing is really deep. I mean, I had in my mind what I thought it would look like. When I looked down at that thing, there was a little tiny building down there I could barely see, smaller than an ant. They said, that's Phantom Ranch. I thought, yeah, it sure is a phantom. I can't even see it. I mean, so I'm like, oh, yeah, I see that down there. And then they said, see that little creek? That's the Colorado River. I said, oh, that's the thing that evolutionists tell us carved out the Grand Canyon. Oh, yeah, that little creek. Sure, I can believe that. Oh, yeah, that's what did all this, right? This big, giant canyon carved out by the little creek. And so, I mean, I was like, I was just amazed. I mean, I was looking at this thing just, I mean, it just totally took my breath away. I wasn't expecting something that big, that beautiful. So there I was looking at that, but I'll tell you one thing. It's hot. It's hot at the Grand Canyon. Did you know, as far as I know, maybe I'm wrong, but there is only one road to get to that canyon. And it seems like it's 5,000 miles long. There ain't a tree anywhere in Arizona. There's some cactus. You can maybe find a little shadow about that wide. If you stand sideways, you might get a little bit of shade. There ain't nothing out there. I mean, I'm like, people want to live out here? Really? There ain't no shade. But I remember being out there, and I was like, you know what? The desert has its own kind of beauty, but that's not where I want to live. I like a little bit of shade. I like trees. I like rivers. I like mountains. I like to hike where I can get some shade. I don't want to go out there in the Grand Canyon and hike around. Not my kind of place to hike. Now, not that I didn't mind seeing it, but to live out there, nah, I don't think so. But we drove, I don't even know what city you start at, but you drive out to the Grand Canyon on this road that's 50 miles long, straight as an arrow. Since there's no trees, there's no hills, just straight, boring. You're driving down this road, there ain't nothing around you. I mean, if you didn't fill up your tank, you're in trouble. You're going to be walking to a gas station, and I don't know where you'd find it, but you're going to walk a ways. So we went all that way to get to that Grand Canyon. I'm thinking to myself, these rangers that work out here, I wonder, do they have to live out here? Because I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to drive 50 miles home and then 50 miles back to work every day. So I assume they live out there somewhere. But, you know, the thing I still recall is that there was no shade. Simply no shade. Anywhere you look. Oh, and another thing, too, I just thought about this. We're driving down these roads in Arizona, and all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, you see a cow standing over there on the side of the road. A cow? You know, I'm used to seeing cows in a pasture where there's grass, right? And there's some trees and a fence around them. Oh, no, not this cow. He's just standing in the middle of the desert. I'm like, where'd that thing come from? And they said, well, we have open range. Open range in Arizona. I don't know if you knew that. But I'm thinking to myself, I don't care if you have closed range. What are these things eating? Rocks? Cactus? I don't know how it survived. There's no water either, so I'm thinking, this cow is a pretty tough cow. I mean, he's pretty tough. You know, his meat probably tasted like, you know, I don't know, like shoe leather. But the guy told me that cow belongs to a farmer, and he lets that thing walk around. He has a tracker on it so he can find that cow anytime he wants to. And he said, if you kill that cow, you hit that cow, you owe that farmer the money for it. You have to pay him for killing that cow. So good thing is you can see him from 100 miles away, so you probably won't hit the cow. But nevertheless, if you do, you're paying the farmer back. But I read a lot of different stories about the Grand Canyon. I think that's where I was heading anyway, about this book I was reading. Got off on a little Grand Canyon trail there. All right, I just read a few stories. I thought these would be a little interesting. There was a woman, Janet Camella. She was 57, and she died of heat exhaustion 6 miles below the rim on what's called the Hermit Trail, just west of the Grand Canyon Village. Her and her husband were from Erie, PA, right here from Erie. Now, I'm sure when she went out there, she wasn't expecting to die in the Grand Canyon. She had a backcountry permit, and she planned to be in the canyon for 4 days. Just 4 days. The Hermit Trail, though, was very steep and rocky with little shade or water. She found out that without shade, she suffered heat stroke and died. David Phillips was a 15-year-old Boy Scout, and he went out there to hike in Bountiful, Utah. And they left from the North Rim, and they headed to the river, and they didn't use a trail, and they didn't have proper permits. Phillips died during a midday hike in what was known as the Nankoweap Creek area, and he's wearing hot denim. Dressed inappropriately and going on a place where they didn't have a permit and going to a place where they didn't have a trail, he was going into a death trap and didn't even know it. And that poor little 15-year-old Boy Scout perished because he had no shade. And then another little boy, Philip Grimm, 10 years old, he died of heat exhaustion at the bottom of the canyon near that ranch I spoke about, the Phantom Ranch. He died near that Phantom Ranch. He was from Youngstown, Ohio. Little boy was found unconscious by a group of hikers on a trail next to the Colorado. Now, those people died because of no shade. Heat stroke can cause confusion, disorientation, agitation, and eventually coma. I remember reading another story. Another fellow got heat exhaustion and heat stroke. He started to suffer heat stroke, confusion. And what you start to do with disorientation and confusion, you start walking anywhere and all over the place. You'll walk into a dead end, part of the canyon. You'll walk back out, and you'll walk back in, and you'll walk back out. You start getting confused as to where you are. And this man, he couldn't figure out where he was going, what he was doing, but they could kind of see his footprints. He got up on top of a cliff there, and he literally thought he could make it. He jumped 50 feet to his death because he thought that it looks like it's only 5 feet, but he was disoriented from the heat stroke that was coming across into his body, and he literally jumped to his death and didn't even know he was jumping to his death because of the heat stroke that was beginning to do its thing to his mind. And, of course, heat stroke can eventually lead to death. So, physically speaking, in the physical realm, it reveals just how important a shadow is. So sometimes you don't just want a shadow, sometimes you need one. Sometimes you need one. And so all of us can relate to that, I'm sure. And maybe you found that shade of a tree, a cave, a rock, a building. The best place I ever found for shade was the Mammoth Cave. You could feel the cool air coming out as you begin to walk into it. I thought, man, it's going to be nice. You get inside that cave, boy, it's nice and cool and the shadows are there. But you can talk about getting away from the heat. It's hot down there. It's all muggy and hot down there. But as soon as you walk into that cave, it's cool and it's nice. So shadows are worth finding, and they help. And we know, look at Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32, verse 2. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a rock, a great rock, in a weary land. That's speaking of our Lord and Savior. He's the man that's being spoken of there. And as that man, he's a hiding place from the wind, he's a covert from the tempest, he's as rivers of water in a dry place, and he is the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. When you're going through that weariness of life, you don't know which ends up, and you're struggling to get by, the Lord Jesus Christ is that great rock in a weary land. He's that shadow that comes over you, and he relieves you. He gives you the strength to carry on. He gives you that relief that you need from the struggles and trials you're going through. He's that great rock casting that shadow over you. Remember, shadows can keep you from dying. That shadow can keep you alive spiritually and keep you going as you go through life and begin to suffer the things of life. But you know, those people in the Grand Canyon, they surely wished they'd have found a shadow. But we enjoy a shadow, don't we? We have a shadow that goes with us through life and provides us protection and rest. So as a shadow of a great rock, the Lord spares us from the symptoms of spiritual heat stroke. You see, in his shadow, we're safe from the confusion of the world. You see, we have been given a sound mind, and so we're not disoriented. because we have his word to follow. And we're not agitated, since we have his abiding peace in our heart. And we're spared from death because of his payment for our sins in his resurrection from the dead. So keep that in mind. Maybe you're going through a difficult time right now, but remember, as a believer, he's the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. He'll help you through it. He'll keep you from getting confused. He'll keep you from getting disoriented. He'll keep you from getting agitated. He'll keep you from that potential death that could take place if you went down the wrong way and kept on going. And so, shadows are fleeting. Shadows are fearful. Shadows are like a fortress that prevent fainting, but also as a shadow that is like a fortress, shadows also protect us from foes. They protect us from foes. Turn to Psalm 57. Psalm 57. Get that in one hand. Psalm 57. Put your finger there. And go to 1 Samuel 24. 1 Samuel 24 on the other hand. I'm going to read Psalm 57, verse 1 through 6 first. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah. David was writing this psalm. It says here, if you have it in your Bible, you'll probably see it at the beginning of the psalm. It says, to the chief musician, Altasketh, Miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. Turn over to 1 Samuel 24. This is when he was fleeing from his enemy, Saul, in the cave. 24, verse 1. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And it came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord hath said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. And so David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went his way. So notice here that David is being chased by Saul. Saul wants to destroy David. He wants to kill David. And he's coming now to find him. And he comes to this cave. And as he goes into the cave to lie down and take a little break there in the shade of that cave, David's men and David himself are hiding up against the sides of the cave. Don't let him see you. Be quiet. Shh. They're up against the sides in that dark cave trying to be quiet to not let Saul hear him. I don't know about you, but that'd be kind of scary knowing this guy wants to kill you. And you're stuck in this cave. You can't get away because he's in the front of the cave and you're inside the cave. But there was David up against those walls, staying in the shadow of the cave. And so David wrote those words in Psalm, as we found there in Psalm 57. As he was going through that time, he then writes the psalm in light of that. And he goes, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. You know, I can almost envision what David was maybe referring to was the shadow of the cave being like the shadow of God's wings. He was saying, you know, that shadow that you covered me with there in the cave, Lord, that was like the shadow of your wings. keeping me safe from the enemy that wanted to destroy me. I was hidden there, and he couldn't find me. You know, it says we're hidden Christ with God, aren't we? And there, the devil might be after you, but you just get up against the wall of the cave and let his wings cover you. Nothing's going to hurt you. But there was David, kind of like that little chick that runs underneath the mother hen's wings, and she puts her wings out and gets the little chick under the wings, and that wing keeps that little chick safe. Well, there was David being kept safe by the Almighty's wings of and bringing that shadow upon him. But you know, when I think about it, that's just a shadow. But remember, this is God's shadow. That shadow of God's wings protecting David might as well have been a brick wall. Saul wasn't going to get to him no matter how he tried. That shadow was nothing that, I mean, there was no way that Saul could have broken through that shadow. God said, that's not for you to get by. I'm going to keep you from going into this cave any further. You're not going to find David because I don't want you to. I'm going to protect him from you, his foe. You know, we also have the same benefit, the same wings of protection. We have foes as well. Say, who are they? Well, look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. Jesus describes some of the foes that we face in our life. Matthew 5, verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Look also at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And verse 22. Kind of gives a little bit more insight into our enemies as well. It says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Those are the enemies that you face. Those enemies that will come at you, and they will persecute you. They'll revile you. They'll say all kinds of evil against you falsely. Kind of like the Democrats saying things against Trump, and I won't go any further. I don't want to get into politics. But listen, you're going to have those kind of enemies. Look also again at Luke chapter 6. It goes on to say a little bit more. Talks about those who hate you and separate you from their company. They don't want you around. You're disdainful. And they get away from you. And so those are the enemies, the foes that we face as believers. We'll have those foes throughout our life, those who hate us, revile us, take and curse us. I mean, it's going to happen. And it's going to make your life miserable sometimes, but praise God for the wings, the shadow of God's wings. He can give you peace. He can give you rest if you'll just go to him. But last of all, shadows can be fleeting, and shadows can be can be fearful, and shadows can be a fortress, also to provide fellowship. Look at Psalm 91. They can provide fellowship. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. The shadow of the Almighty. He dwelleth in the secret place. The secret place is a reference to the most holy of holies in the tabernacle. That was where the Ark of the Covenant was, and the cherubim overshadowed that ark. And that's where God dwelt. That was his throne. It was the mercy seat. And now for us, that Ark of the Covenant that typified the very presence of God, it was a secret place of quietness and peace. Our quiet place, our Ark of the Covenant today is the mercy seat before which we approach to our God. We come to him only because of the blood. Amen. We have no other access, no other reason. We're not worthy to come before him because we're kind of good or we're bad. We can't come. Oh, no. We only come and always come because of the blood. And we come to that throne and we can find that there's peace, there's joy, there's fellowship in with our God in prayer. So when you enter under the shadow of the Almighty, to be under his shadow, it encloses close proximity. It's a place of favor, a place of protection where you can enjoy that fellowship with God. And so the Lord's shadow, like a fortress, prevents us from fainting, protects us from our foes, provides a quiet, safe place for fellowship. You see, life is filled with shadows. But one day, there will be no more shadows. We're going to dwell in a city that has no need of the sun nor of the moon. For the Lord, the glory of God will lighten it, and the Lamb will be the light thereof. No more shadows. But if you're lost here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be forever under the shadow of death. You'll never see light again. See, Christ died on the cross. He went to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, and he came back again so that you could be saved from such a place. So, which will it be? Shadows now and light forever, or shadows now and darkness forever? Let's pray. Father, we come this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for your love and your concern, your care. Father, we thank you for the shadow that you provide with your wings, the shadow that we can go to and find safety. We can find peace and rest and fellowship. We thank you, Lord, that though shadows may be fearful, you've taken away the fear that they have. And though life, the shadow as we go through life, is it seems like it's fleeting, yet, Lord, you give us eternal life. So we don't have to worry about how long life may be. But Father, I pray today, if there's anyone among us that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray today you'd help them to see, Lord, that life is fleeting by. They need to make a decision today. So Lord, I pray you'd have your will and way in their life. May they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ by putting their faith in him. The Bible declares, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So today I pray you'd encourage the saved, save the lost, and have your will and way in the service. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to come this morning, feel free to do so. As Brother Mark will lead us into hymn, if you'd like to come to the altar for whatever reason, maybe God has spoken to your heart about a need, maybe you're fearful of something in your life, maybe you just need a fortress today, just come. If you need to come, ask God to help you. Brother Mark.
Turn to 14.